From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Radio Times. I'm Dave Davies, sitting in for Marty Moscoen. Most of us have had difficulties with our mothers at some point growing up, but what if your mom turns out to be not just difficult, but seriously mentally ill? Our guest, poet and performer Michael Mack, grew up with a mother who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, and he's drawn on that experience to produce a one-man play, Hearing Voices, Speaking in Tongues. The 90-minute monologue is a collection of his own reminiscences and reflections, and at times attempts to explore what was happening in his mother Annie's tormented mind. Michael Mack is also a poetry slam champion. His work has appeared in established literary journals such as the Asheville Poetry Review, the Beloit Poetry Journal, the Southern Poetry Review, New York Quarterly, and has aired on National Public Radio. He is performing Hearing Voices at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival Sunday and Monday at the Mum Puppet Theater, and he joins us today on Radio Times. Michael Mack, good morning. Welcome to... Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Dave. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me come in.
How old were you when you became aware of your mother's illness?
I was five. My mother was first diagnosed when I was 5 years old. And it happened around the time of her giving birth to my younger sister. And happened within a couple of weeks after that. The original diagnosis was that it was postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis. But very soon on, it became clear that it was something much more than that.
She was her fourth child, right?
That's right.
So you had three siblings.
That's right.
You and your dad, and although you were very young at the time, they began to cope with something which was more and more serious and required her eventually being hospitalized.
That's right. She was hospitalized probably within about a month of that first episode. My father's first experience of her illness was coming home one Saturday with groceries under his arms, coming home from Safeway, and he saw her on the sofa, shaking and crying, and he said, "Annie, what is it? What's wrong?" And she looked up at him, and she asked him if her face had changed, that if she was the Blessed Virgin. And he said the hair stood up on the back of his neck, and that was really the most dramatic point at which we knew that something was awfully, awfully wrong.
Right. Now, you didn't write about this until you were well into adulthood, right?
That's right.
Tell us how that happened.
Well, it started with a poetry class that I took in college. I took it for elective credit. I was going to MIT at the time, and I figured it would be an easy A and one way to escape the very rigorous science and math.
So you were headed for a career very different from the one you've embarked
Absolutely.
On, right? Technical stuff, right?
I was going into the Sloan School of Business Management. And so it came as a total surprise to me when I took this poetry class and found it bringing to me an energy and a life through memory that I hadn't had before. And I took another poetry class the next term and was so fired by what I was experiencing that I elected to switch majors. And instead of majoring in business management, I switched over into the humanities program at MIT and majored in writing with a concentration in poetry.
Poetry, when it's done well, can capture something in a way that maybe no other medium quite can. And I'm wondering if, as you began writing poetry, that, you found memories that you didn't know you had. I mean, five is awfully young to mm-hmm. begin experiencing mm-hmm. what must have been some awfully traumatic stuff.
It is, but there are certain memories that all of us have. And sometimes they're very early memories, but they're very precise memories. And that's one of the reasons that I think that poetry was such a good avenue for this work, because poetry, among other things, is about precision and is about reducing an event or a moment into its absolute essential.
Right. In the poem you read, we hear your father, as your mother is suffering what appears to be a psychotic break here, and grabs her and says, "Annie, that's enough." I mean, one's heart goes out to this man who's trying to cope with this situation, which he clearly has no way of being prepared for. What was it like watching your father and how he dealt with it? And how it changed?
Well, it's interesting because as I grew into being a young man, I developed increasingly an anger towards my father because I felt that he, because of the way that he behaved with her. And it wasn't until I started writing and going into the memories that I had and going into my mother's head and into my father's head and being able to find for the first time some understanding around why each of them did what they did and where they came from and how they ended up where they were.
What kind of a relationship do you have with your father today? He's still alive, right?
He is alive, and I would call it a very good relationship. He came to see the performance last year for the first time, and I'm pleased to say that he was excited enough about it to come back again a few months later when I did another show. So as you can imagine, I was really nervous about presenting it to him and presenting it to anyone in my family. But
did your mother ever see it?
No, she didn't. She knew that I was working on it, but she didn't want to see it because I think that it would have brought up, it would have brought back too many memories that were really painful. So
we're speaking with Michael Mack. He is a poet and performer. His one-man play, Hearing Voices Speaking in Tongues, is being performed Sunday night and Monday at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival. It deals with his mother and her battle with paranoid schizophrenia. If you'd like to call, the number is 1-888-477-WHYY. That's 1-888-477-9499. Did you have a hard time convincing your father to see the play? I mean, did he want to avoid going through that all again?
No, it wasn't hard. In fact, he booked the flight to fly up to Boston from Washington to see it. I think that he recognized that that it was an avenue for, on some level, he recognized it as an avenue for healing. And that is certainly what it has been for me. And I'm glad to say that other folks have told me something similar.
Right. What about your brothers and sisters?
My brother saw it for the first time in Arkansas last March. And my sister also saw it last year in Boston. So I've only one sister left who hasn't seen it. And I think that she'll see it in Washington later this year.
In one of the poems in the play, and I believe it's called Hearing Voices, You ask your listeners and the audience to close their eyes for a few minutes and imagine what it would be like to hear the voices that a schizophrenic hears. And there's a whole a pastiche of different voices. What did you know of your mother's hallucinations?
Well, I knew of what she had told me, but I think I got more information through a couple of other sources. I did a lot of reading. And in particular, reading the writings of people who were experiencing or had experienced schizophrenia. And I found in their writings, there was a particular quality that seemed to repeat itself again and again. And so what I was trying to do is see if I could, through art, through poetry, find a way of duplicating that quality.
What is that quality that repeats again and again?
I would describe it in several ways. There is something, if you can imagine yourself looking out into the world and seeing a world that is alien, seeing a world that is intensely felt, seeing a world that, when I say intensely felt, what I mean is that when a person is suffering from schizophrenia, they don't have the filters that most of us have in order to get through our day-to-day life. So they experience the details of the world in extreme detail, and so they are overwhelmed. They tend to be overwhelmed with a tremendous amount of information, visual, auditory, mental information all coming at once without the filters that most of us have to weed out the extraneous stuff and get down to the business at hand. I've heard the world of schizophrenia as described from somebody who had it, as there was an artificial quality to it, that the figures in the world, that the people in the world became mannequins, became robots, became inhuman somehow. And so it can become a very frightening world. And in fact, my mother had this experience one time that she relayed to me about feeling very tired at one time. She was walking through the city and she sat down on a park bench and she dozed off. And when she woke up, all of the color that had been in the world was gone. And the only colors left in the world were black and white. She looked around and she saw that the people going up and down the street were not, in fact, humans. They were robots, they were aliens, and that she was the last human alive.
And she described this to you.
Yes.
Michael Mack, he is the poet and performer whose one-man play, Hearing Voices Speaking in Tongues, is being performed Sunday and Monday at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival. You can talk to Michael Mack. The number is 1-888-477-WHYY. We'll be right back.